Discuss a topic related to Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks, and something that connects to Maseches Yuma as well. Since we're learning that this man, let's begin first with the Gemara in the Bar Kamsa Sugya, found in Gittin Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the pasuk Vamar I Elokeimo Tzur Chasayu Vav. The pasuk means, where is your God? Where is your rock? Where is the mercy from Hashem as the Beis Hamikdash was being destroyed? And so the Gemara says in Gittin that Zeh Titus HaRasha Shechiruf V'Gidav Klapei Malo, that he cursed, he blasphemized toward Hashem. Ma'as, what was the disgusting thing that this individual, this Rasha, did? Tafa Zona B'Yadov V'Nichas the base Kache Kadashim. You all know what that means. V'Tziu Sefer Torah V'Avra Le'Avera. He spread out a Sefer Torah and was Avra Avera in the Kodesh Kadashim. He took a sword and started to stab the parochas. And as he shoved that sword into the parochas, there was blood that was oozing, boiling out, squirting out of the parochas. And Kesavar Haragas Atzmo, he thought that he killed the HaKadosh Baruch, whatever that means in his thoughts. And it's a very strange thing that this Rasha should be Zochet to Sienes. Obviously, there was no blood that was in the parochas. It wasn't the blood that was from all the sprinklings of the Kohen Gadol that had absorbed. There was a nes, the Gemara says, v'nasa nes. So what was the zechus that he had? Why was there a nes at this terrible time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So we find a similar event in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Daled Amud Beis, where a nes took place. And the Gemara describes, this is number two, Amar Yesh Lakish B'Shah Shenichnesu Nachrim L'Heichal, when the non-Jews entered into the Beis HaMikdash, Ro'u Kruvim Hamurin Zebazeh. You saw the Kruvim that were hugging each other, that were embracing each other. Ro'u Tzion L'Shuk, they took out the Kruvim out to the Shuk. V'Amur Yisrael Halalu, these holy Jews, Shebirchasen Bracha V'Kalasen Klala, they give a Bracha, the Bracha is accepted. And they make a Klala, the Klala is accepted. Yashku B'Dvarm Halalu, engage in such acts inside the Kodesh Kadashim. And so they disgraced them. And this Indian alone, that was what was going on in the Kodesh Kadashim, itself is a very special Indian. It's very important for the part of a Chasen Shmuz to understand how special such an Indian is of intimacy. But this is what they did during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They took out the Kruvim. And they showed the Kruvim that were embracing each other into the Shuk. And the Ritva asks the question, how could it be, how is it possible that at this moment, the Rebbe Magash asks, at this moment the Gemara tells us that the Kruvim only faced each other when they were doing Ratzon Hashem. But certainly the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't Ratzon Hashem, so why in the world were the Kruvim hugging each other? It doesn't make any sense. So he says some give the suggestion that the Kruvim of Moshe, they acted in such a way that were on the Kaporas, they were facing each other when they were doing Ratzon Hashem, and when they were not doing Ratzon Hashem, they were facing the other direction. But the Gemara here is referring to the Kruvim that were on the walls that were remaining there. They had these little artistic designs of Kruvim that were hugging each other on the walls, and that always remained. They didn't change the shape. They changed the direction on the walls. So that's what they took out. Beina Hanami, the Kruvim that were in the Kodesh Kadashim, says the Ritva, the Rimagash, that they were not facing each other during the Churban. The Ritva doesn't like this suggestion. He said something powerful. The Ritva himself in the Gemara Numa says, Shinas Hanes L'Ra Kede Legalos Ervasan. At this terrible moment, there was a Nes that took place. The Nes that even though there was no Ratzon, they were not following Ratzon Hamakom, and still the Kruvim were embracing each other. As we saw with the story in Gittin, the Titus HaRasha, that there was a Nes B'Shas Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was also a Nes B'Shas Churban Beis HaMikdash with regards to the Kruvim. So what in the world does a Nes Ra'a mean? What's a Nes L'Ra? What's a miracle for evil? The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to show how evil we are. He shows a Nes to teach us how Ra'a we are. So we have a similar idea that we know that
what's Legalos Ervasan?
To just expose their Erva, to expose how bad they've been. The Averos Klal Yisrael. So we have a similar idea that we know the Gemara describes Tisha B'Av as a Moed, the Pasuk says. Right, Karalai Moed, that Tisha B'Av, the worst day of the year, is called a Moed. So we have such a thing as Moadim Tovim and Moadim Raim. We have Nisim Tovim, we have Nisim Raim. So the pasuk in Zechariah in front of you, Perek Ches describes that Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzom HaRevi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaAsi, referring to the four tainios that we have. Yeah, LeBeis Yehuda, LeSasam, LeSimcha. In the future, it's going to be a tremendous day of Simcha, of rejoicing. Ulemoadim Tovim, and to be days of good, a good Yom Tov. That implies, though, there's something called a Moed Ra, a bad Yom Tov. Otherwise, it's just say Moed. Why Moed Tov? Because there's something called a Moed Ra, a bad Moed, and that's the Moed of Tisha B'Av. So what's the idea of a Nes Ra, a Moed Ra? So there's an amazing Marsha in the Gemara in Bechor. So the Gemara Bechor is Daf Ches, has a whole long Agadah, and seemingly these two Agadahs are not connected to each other. But one Agadah says, describing how long it takes for certain animals from conception to birth. And the Gemara says, when it comes to a Tarnagol, it takes 21 days for the egg to hatch. That's one Gemara. And then Amud Beis, the Gemara has a whole discussion where, I forget which tzaddik, but one of them, Aroim, had to go to to have a debate with the Greek Chachamim. And as part of the debate, the Chachamim of Athens, non-Jewish Chachamim that is, the philosophers there, they asked him the following question. If you have two eggs, trei bei, two eggs, one comes from a white chicken, and one comes from a black chicken. How are you going to tell which egg came from which? Now, obviously, there's no way to tell because the eggs look exactly the same. There's no black and white eggs. All eggs are white. Even if the mother's black and the mother's white, they're all going to be white. So then he says to them, he says back to these the philosophers in Athens, bring me two pieces of cheese. And he asks them, well, which cheese comes from a black goat, which comes from a white goat? That was the conversation. So Marsha explains, if you look inside, Marsha says that Tarnagolas, that egg hatches in 21 days, it's a reference to the 21 days of Shivas HaBetamuz to Tisha B'Av. And that's the reference of the black egg. The 21 days of Ra. But there's also 21 days of Slicha Mechila, which is the Yom Tov Rishon Rosh Hashanah, which takes you to 21 days to Hoshana Rabbah, which we know is the Yom Gemar Chasima. We have this parallel of 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim to 21 days of Slicha Mechila. And the Slicha Mechila of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah is the white egg. And they were saying to him, the philosophers were asking him, you see these two eggs, they both look exactly the same, 21 days. So how are you able to tell which one? They're both white. You can't tell which one's the black days, which ones are the days of evil, the Bein HaMetzarim, and which ones are the white days of Slicha Mechila. So he says back to them, bring me two things of cheese from two goats. Says the Marsha, those are the Shnei Se'irim of Yom HaKippurim, the two goats that looked exactly the same, Shnei Shavim. The Mishnah says they have to be equal in terms of height and weight and the value and looks. Two exact goats, at least the cheese of these goats. And them turning to one's Lashem, the black goat, or rather the white goat was Lashem, and the black goat was Lazazel. And the Gvina, the cheese that was produced from these two goats, the black and the white goat, the Lashem Lazazel, they're both white. The cheese is always white. Because even the Sir Lazazel, even that one which is black, which is, goes down off the cliff, that also is Malbin Es Avonoseim Shel Yisrael. That also cleanses, whitens the Averos of Am Yisrael. And they're connected to each other. The Gemara explains how they had split that the red string, half went on the goat that was thrown down, half went hanging inside the base of Migdash, because they both were contributing to the Slicho Mechila. So he says, just like the two goats in Yom Kippur, one's black, one's white, the results are always white. It's always a white cheese, a gvina. It's Malbin Es Avonoseim. So too, he says back to these philosophers of Athens, the 21 days of Slicha Mechila, Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah, is exactly the same to those black roosters from Bein HaMetzarim, the results are always white. The eggs are always white. It's always going to be a Slicha Umbechira. Even though those days are days of Puranios, from Shivas Bertamas till Tisha B'Av, the Toldos, the results, are always going to be Libun Avonos. It's going to be a tremendous Kapara for all of us. So even though it seems so bad these 3 weeks and the 9 days and Shavuot Shechal and Tisha B'Av, it's a tremendous chesed Kadosh Baruch Hu is providing for us. That's what it means to be Moed Ra. Perhaps that's what a Nes L'Ra means as well. Moshe Shapiro writes in Afike Mayim in the Chelek Beis Hamikdash, this is number 6. He writes, Achein Omek Habir, the depth of this explanation is that the Pnimiuso Shodavar and the depths of this idea, Hareza Maisa Zugufa Tmuna, there's something hidden. Ma'amikin Shagiloi Shechina. There's some revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umaisa Zivug of the two of us coming together. Emasai Sharisha Af Sheklapi Chutz Nitpas Kimaisa Erva. Even though from the outside it seems like we're being taken for doing something bad. Shekilu Ozav Hashem Esa Aretz. Hashem left us, it seems, from the outside. V'nir La'ayin Ki'ilu Debatel Achibur Mikol V'kol. That there's no longer a connection from Klal Yisrael and Hashem Yisbarach, Mikol Malkom Klapei Didan Gila, with respect to us on the inside, we know that Gila Kadosh Baruch Hu Bezesh also Churban Gufa, that destruction Eino Silak Shakrisa Gemura Chas V'Shalom. It's not a real severance from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ela Shepnimius Hasilak Eina Ela Ichud. What seemed to be a distancing actually was a coming together. Every type of destruction, every type of pain and tragedy is actually bringing people together. So that's the idea. When it comes to a Moed Ra, a Nes Ra, it's actually bringing us together because it is some level of celebration, some connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we find that there's this parallel as well when it comes to Sheva Brachos and Shivi Me'avelos. There's an end of Shloshim when it comes to Avelis. There's Shloshim when it comes to Chasam Akala. There's Shana Rishon when it comes to Chasam Akala. And there's Yud Beis Chodesh when it comes to Avelis. You always have these opposites. And from the outside, they seem both negative. Rather, one's negative, one's positive. But even the negative, even that has tragedy within it, has tremendous, tremendous simcha and achdus, even though it's not always easy for us to realize this. There's a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hem Rebeis where Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah is having a discussion in front of the Zar there. And there's a certain Apikoros Amin who had shown that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah had this, he did some type of thing with his hands, that your God has turned his face. Did something like that. Turned your face from Am Yisrael. He doesn't care for you anymore. And then Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah showed back to him with his hands, but Yada Netuya Aleinu, but still his hand is spread out over us. Even though his head's turned, his hand is watching over us. So the Tzar, who is observing this, asked Rabbi Yeshua, what exactly was this the sign language that you two were talking about? So Rabbi Yeshua explains to him that he showed me that our God turned his face away, and I showed him that his hand is still over us. So then he says over to the Min, so now you tell me, do you understand this conversation? He said, I understood what I did to him. I turned my head away to describe that Hashem turned his face away from Am Yisrael, but I've got no idea what he said back to me. And so he says, the king says to this Min, he says, Gavra de lo yoda mai machvelo b'mechug yachve kami malka, a person who doesn't understand sign language is going to do sign language in front of the king, and he ends up killing this Min. So the Marsha asks on that Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hem Rebeis, why was Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah showing his Zer Netuya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is spread out over Am Yisrael? That Inyan of Zer Netuya, says the Marsha, is an Inyan of Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to spread his hand out over us, and it's going to bring punishment to us. And so the Marsha says, you have this inside? No. Marsha says, Yesh Lefarsh, there's to explain, Dila Tova Nemar. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Hester upon him, while we're in Gullus, and he turned his face away from us, still it wasn't Mamish a Hester upon him. The very fact that his hand was still spread out over us shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares. That the Yada Netuya, even though it's a Yada Netuya that's giving it punishment, it's still also there, Lahagein Mitzaros HaGalus, to protect us from all the pains and the troubles from Galus. And that's what he was saying to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe turned his face away. And there is Hester Panim in Galus, but it's not a complete Hester Panim. It's a Zerah Netuya. It's a Zerah Netuya that's sent out to give punishment to us, but it's also there to protect us. There's a well-known Maisa of the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram. Perhaps you've heard of him, and maybe the story as well. But it's written very beautifully here from Spiro's book on Tisha B'Av. Who Avram ben Avram was, he lived in the times of the Gra. The Chavetz Chaim was very fond of telling the story over and the tremendous inspiration that we could learn from the story. And his name used to be Valentin Patatsky, who was born in Lithuania in the early 1700s. And he was part of a family that was very respected among the Catholic Church. And one day he realized that he did not agree with the Catholic religion and was intrigued by Yiddishkeit. He began to learn more and eventually converted and ran away because anyone who converted from the church had to be killed. So Avram ben Avram, what was his name? He gave himself Avram. He ran away to a town called Vilna, as we know. And he learned there secretly. Not many knew who he was, where he came from. And he learned pretty much all day. People would give him food to eat. And no family there, of course. And then a few days, there was this young boy who would often come to the Beis Medrash for the next few days. And very disruptive in the Beis Medrash. In and out, making noise, running around. And one day Avram ben Avram couldn't handle it anymore, and he started to rebuke the young boy. And the young boy went home and told his father how embarrassed he was from this Yid. He himself was Jewish. And his father found out who this person Avram ben Avram was, that he converted from Christianity, and he told the authorities, and they took him away. And they're going to have him killed, and they said to Avram ben Avram, if you agree to convert back to Christianity, we'll save you, we'll pardon you. And Avram ben Avram refused to do this, and he stood strong in his belief in Yiddishkeit. They threw him into jail. He spent many, many months in jail to finally decide, now is the time, we're going to kill you, we're going to burn you at the stake. And when the Gra got wind of this, somehow the Gra got a message to Avram ben Avram, and he was willing to save him using Shemos Hashem. And Avram ben Avram refused. He wanted to die in Kiddush Hashem. And he remained in the jail until it was time to be killed, taken out and burnt. And when it was time to be killed, Rav Alexander Ziskin, the author of Yesod V'Shorash HaAvodah, was present at this burning. And supposedly, when he was being killed, Avram ben Avram said the bracha of Lekadesh Shmo Barabim, and Rav Alexander Ziskin said Amen to this bracha. And there was a dialogue, there was a conversation that took place when Avram ben Avram was being taken out by the guards. They're making fun of him, and they said, do you plan on taking revenge when you go up to Shemayim making fun? You think you're really finding the right, you're following the right religion? When you go up to Shemayim, you're going to take revenge on us? And he said the following. When I was a child, I was once playing in the sand and I fashioned beautiful soldiers out of sand. And suddenly a few older boys came over and destroyed my sand figures. I was so upset, I ran to my father and told him what had happened, how the boys had destroyed my sand soldiers. I begged my father to punish those bullies, but my father shrugged me off. He didn't punish them at all. He knew it wasn't necessary to take action against those who had ruined some silly sand figures. And so now Avram looks over to these guards. Do you think that when I become an adult, I want to seek out those bullies and make them pay for the damage they had done? Do you think I went to beat them up for the sand soldiers they had ruined? Of course not. You know why? Because when I became an adult, I realized that one should not get upset about something made of sand. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. And now, he looked at them again and said, you may be a bully now and destroy my body, but my body is made of sand. Man is nothing more than a creation made of sand by the hands of Hashem. And when I go up to heaven, when I go up to Shemaim, I will not run to my father and make sure that he punishes you. I will not look for ways to exact revenge. Instead, I will go to the heavenly throne, to the Kisei HaKavod, and beg from the Ribono Shel Olam to allow that Malshim, the one who told the authorities, to enter Gan Eden. That's what I'm going to do. Because without him, I would never have the opportunity to sanctify the name of Hashem, as I am about to do now. And this Ma'aseh of the Chafetz Chaim again loved to say, that even in these moments of darkness, of tragedy, to be able to see the positive, to be able to see the simcha, if you can, in such a terrible thing, in such a terrible situation, is a Beis HaLevi on the pasuk Vayotze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Haran. He left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. And the Medrash describes he went to Haran to a place of Haran Af, to a place of anger. He was sent off into Galus. And these two dinim, Beis HaLevi has two dinim in everything, even in his drasha he's got two dinim. So he left one place and he went to another place. He left from Eretz Yisrael, but then he got to a place, say, distant to land. And both of these, says the Beis HaLevi, were for a tachlis. He says the kavana was the Eretz Yisrael, b'ktushasa, and the great kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was not able to be sovel, the ovri avera. So to be sent out to Galus was to protect him. Why? Because it wasn't a punishment to go in Galus, says the Beis HaLevi, because Eretz Yisrael could have brought the same punishment to them. But the point was, in Eretz Yisrael, there would be no mercy. In Chutz La'aretz, there would be mercy. And he was sent out to Galus because it's more Rachmanis there in Galus. And that's what he says. He connects it to an interesting Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara Baba Kama says, a person leaves an object out, it's Hefker. You just leave it out on the street, that becomes Hefker. If you throw a kli down from the top of a roof, it doesn't become Hefker. And a person breaks my kli that's falling, he's responsible to pay for it because it's not Hefker. So what's the difference? I'm throwing it down from the roof. Isn't that way of being me being mafkir, this kli? So he says that when a person sends something away with a tachlis, it's not Hefker yet. You drop something from the roof with a tachlis to fall and break, that's a tachlis. It's still connected to the Baal, the one who sent it off. He says the same thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him off into Galus. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us off into Galus, into times of Tzara, in periods of 3 weeks, it's for a tachlis. He's not mafkir us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching over us, like the Gemara in Chagiga, Zro Netuya. His hand is still spread out over us to protect us even when we're being sent away in Galus. Rav Moshe Shapiro quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham, Mashkiach in the Mir, that we say in the Kina, B'tzeisim Mitzrayim. He says the idea is, we left Mitzrayim and connecting it to B'tzeisim Yushalayim. What's the connection of leaving Mitzrayim to leaving Yushalayim? The way it seems from the Kinos is that one was leaving B'tzeisim Mitzrayim with Simcha, and B'tzeisim Yushalayim was B'avelis. But he says, Rabbeinu Yerucham says, that's not the idea. The depth of this is that even when we're tasim Yushalayim, there's some level of simcha, there's some hidden light that's there, even in this terrible tragedy, that's like the tasim mi Mitzrayim, the same idea. The Gra points out in the Pasuk Kohel, so you have in front of you, the Pesukim Kohel tell us that Eisla ledes, Eisla must, is a time of birth, is a time of death. Eisla tas, Eisla akor, Eisla arog, Eisla rufo, and so on and so forth. And if you look at Pasuk Dalet, it says Ace Pod of Ace for code. There is no Lamed. All the other ones, with the exception also the end, Ace Mocham, Ace Shalom, but all the other ones, Ace La Ledes, Ace La Mavis, Ace La something. But why is there no Lamed when it comes to eulogizing and dancing? And so the Gra explains that every type of Ace, every time of Refuah, of death, of crying, happiness, rejoicing, it has its own unique, exclusive time. When it comes to a death, he writes, comes to a death, ace pod, ace rakod, a time of eulogy and a time of dancing, those are not mutually exclusive. The idea is they both come at the same time. When there's a eulogy over a mace, there's tremendous dancing at that very same time. And he quotes a Gemara in Mori Katan, Rav Ashi was speaking to a eulogist And he wanted to know, he was curious to know, what are you going to say about me when I die? Asked Rav Ashi. And he said something Rav Ashi wasn't very pleased with. And what happened, the two of the eulogists, whatever they said, Rav Ashi looked at them and they something happened to their knees and their legs. So what was going to be said when Rav Ashi finally died? What was said as, what was his hesped? So the Gemara in Barikot and Daf Chafei Rebbei says that the chariot, there's going to be this chariot of Sos v'Sameach when you come into this world of this Nefesh Naki v'Tzadik. That the during the hesped, when there's crying down in this world, that the Petira of Rav Ashi, there's tremendous dancing up in the Shemaim Lamala. So Gra says, what seems to be oftentimes when there's something sad, tragic taking place, there's tremendous simcha happening and dancing at the same time. Now we can't always recognize that, but certainly in the Elyonim, everything is always dancing. And that's why it says Ace Pod, Ace Rakod. It happens at the same exact moment. Many of you know I played basketball in Frisch back in high school. And I started on the team there. And there's one maisa I like to share. Hey, you've heard this maisa before? You've heard this maisa? I think I shared it once in the shul here. It was one Sunday morning. None of you were there for that. So it was, they were playing a game at TABC. It was a tied game, 20 seconds left in the game. And it was TABC's ball on the other side of the basket. So they had a timeout. They were setting up a play. And the way the play was set up was all their men were on that side of the court where they're inbounding it. And then point guard, who I was watching, was on the other end of the court, the far corner, protect near his basket. So as those who know basketball, you play in between the ball and the basket. So I was playing at half court. So they can't throw the ball all the way down over a full court. So I played half court. The inbounds the ball, they set a pick, a couple of plays. The guy by the name of Shami Elstein, who was built like a college basketball player. So he broke loose, and then it was him at half court, and me between him and the point guard. There was twins, either Freim or Hill or Rudolph. I don't remember which one it was, but they looked exactly, they still look exactly alike, but one of them was in the corner there. And I'm in between Shami Elstein coming down like a freight train, and I'm moving back, watching the corner here. He's coming closer, coming to the foul line. He's not stopping. I know he's going straight for the basket. I plant my feet, put up the hands, rolls right over me, lays up, scores the basket. There's that silence. Blow the whistle, charging. There's no greater feeling in basketball than getting a charge. Getting knocked over, mamish plowed to the ground, and 10 seconds left in the game, that simcha you get from that charge being plowed over, that's the idea. When there's a tragedy, when there's a tzara, it's not always easy for us to realize that, but that simcha you get from that charge is absolutely amazing. As a side point, they gave me the ball to try to win the game in the last 10 seconds. I had all that adrenaline. I didn't score. I went to overtime. By 10 points in overtime, we ended up winning the game. This is an amazing hakdamah of the Pnei Yeshua. Perhaps you've learned this hakdamah before. Pnei Yeshua writes, this is the last source on the sheets here. A very sad, sad story of the writing of this Pnei Yeshua. Read through, I'll say it outside as I go through. You can follow along in Hebrew, but I'll just translate. Pnei Yeshua writes that I took upon myself a Kabbalah, a neder, beis tzarasi, the time of Yom Charon Af. Terrible tragedy happened to his home, his family. It was Gimel Kislev. And he was sitting in his house with his friends, his Talmidim. He was giving a shir. And then there was a sudden explosion that happened in the city. Came out of nowhere. A loud noise, a fire. A mara esha gadola that burnt his house and windows cracked, stones and beams falling. The house just crumbled to pieces. And Batuk, inside this whole destruction of the house, his wife, his mother, her mother rather, her grandfather, his youngest granddaughter, describes all the different relatives that perished in his house that collapsed. And Pnei Yeshua says, I was one of those who was inside this house. I fell from the rooftop down below, into the basement. And there were beams and rocks all over me. And my hands and legs weren't mine anymore. Einu Bershusi writes, and he said to myself, he was scared that his house became a base kvaros of niskalin, nisrafin, erogin, echnokim, those who got killed all types of ways. All four misos. But with Chemlas Hashem, he writes, for me, myself, personally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do any evil to me. And after around 15-20 minutes of waiting, everything, the noise died down. Heard some rumbling of people trying to find them. And he was spared. Not a thing touched him. Not a scratch. He came out alive. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made this nether to himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes me out. Hotzianu min ha-makom hazeh l'shalom. V'yivne li bayis ne'eman l'harbos gvulei v'talmidim. It gives me the ability to establish new talmidim. I'm not going to remove myself at all from the kolsei beis ha-medrash. I'm going to be engrossed in the sugyas of Shas and Poskim to the Om Shkoshe Halacha and follow the paths of his grandfather, Rabbi Yeshua, who had the Sefer Tshuvos Pnei Yeshua. And that's what happened. And in light of this tragedy, he took upon himself to write the Pnei Yeshua. He took this as an opportunity of inspiration, of Hakar Satov and Hodat to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to write now this masterpiece of the Pnei Yeshua. And parenthetically, he writes something interesting at the end of the paragraph here. He says, as he walked through the paths of the different pillars that fell down, he wanted to follow Derech Halacha. He wanted to paskin shailas b'divrei halacha b'sugyas hashas and the poskim. I'm not sure what he means by this, but he says, I don't want to get involved in drush, because that's only needed for a different distant times, but his focus was going to be learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, just understanding Pshat and Halacha. But this Pnei Yeshua came about because of a tragedy that happened to his entire family. And so now we bring it back to one last story here. After the Holocaust, speaking about survivors of tragedy, there's a Rebbe who survived the Holocaust. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce the name. Machnovka Rebbe. And the Rebbe's minog in the shul before the war was to always face the Mizrach. Face this way. In the Tzibur along, everyone faced the Mizrach. And when he came back after the war, he established a new kehila. He decided to face this way, facing the Tzibur. An older chassid who survived the Holocaust along with him wanted to know why he changed the minog to face the kila and not the mizrach. And so the Rebbe said with tears in his eyes, I remember quite well the direction I faced when I used to daven. I used to daven the mizrach. But after seeing so many of our brothers slaughtered and burned by those ruthless rishayim, how precious it is to see the faces of those who've survived. Now that there are so few of us here, how could I turn my back to another yid? I wanted to face those who survived and appreciate what they had left. And appreciate the simcha from that tragedy. So I'll finish off with the Rav Yonason Eibshitz circling back to our Gemara in Yuma. He writes in Yaris Dvash in Drush Yud Gimel, this Chelik Aleph Drush Yud Gimel, it's a hesped over three great tzaddikim who died in a very short period of time during Bein HaMetzarim. And in this discussion he mentions this Ritva, wanting to know how could there be a nes, how could the Kuvim be hugging each other at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and he quotes Ritva about this nes ra, a nes of evil, a nes lira, some bad nes. So Yonason Eibshitz quotes the Medrash that Li'olam lo zaza shechina miYisrael b'Shabbosos v'Yamim Tovim. The shechina never leaves us on Shabbos and Yom Yomtif. He always comes back. The shechina always comes back. And afilu b'Shabbos shel chol, the Medrash says. A Shabbos Shel Chol. What's a Shabbos Shel Chol? So he says, because Kol Moadim Nikram Shabbos. We all know that even a Stam Shabbos is called a Moed. That's called a Yom Tif. The Kavanah of the Medrash is, Afil Yom Tif Sheni Shel Golios. Shu Be'emes Chol. It's really a weekday because now we're Bekim in the Bekriya Diarcha. That's called a Chol. Legabe Mace, the Yom Tov Sheni, it's Kechol Shavini Rachmana, Rabbanan, it's considered a Chol. And still nonetheless, even though it's no longer a Moed, it's a Moed Shechol, the Shechina didn't leave. Lo Zaza Shechina. So the Yushalmi says in Tainus that the Churban Bayis Rishon actually took place on Rosh Chodesh Av. And doing some calculations based on Gemara Ervin, that was a Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Av, the destruction of Bayis Rishon took place on Shabbos. What's the idea? The Tam is Be'emes. Lama Sibeva Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheyechari B'Shabbos. Why did Hashem make it happen that the destruction take place on Shabbos? L'haysa Megina Shabbos L'ba Yechar Abba. Shouldn't Shabbos protect us? The Shechina is there. Shouldn't it protect us from any destruction? The explanation says, Rav Yonason Eibshitz, it's L'tovas Yisrael. This was to protect us, actually. Kilman Chem Shalachti Babela. We were sent to Bavel, ki yeshchina holechet emisol lahagin ba'adam ke'em hamreachefes al habanim. The Shechina was sent along with us to Bavel to protect us, like a mother protects her own children. Velulei, had there not been, chas v'shalom, kvar gavanu v'avanu, we would have been lost, completely obliterated, had the Shechina not followed us and went with us to Galus. And that's what the Zohar says, Shenigla ha-Merkava li-Yechezkel anachem li-Yisrael. The Merkava, the Maisa Merkava was sent to Yechezkel. Even though Yechezkel was in Golis, he was still Zohar to see this as a Nechama. Because they all thought that the Shechina left them in Golis. And they thought they were lost forever. And there had no hope left. V'Yechezkel nichamam, Yechezkel give them the proper comfort. Shero ha-Merkava b'nar kvar. He already saw this Merkava, even though they were in Golis, the Shechina is still with them, to be a sign that the Shechina is there. And had the Shechina not been there, Klai Yisrael would be completely destroyed. And that's why Dafka and Shabbos, the destruction took place on Shabbos because the Shechina is there on Shabbos, it comes back. Had the Shechina not been there during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we would have been obliterated completely. So Dafka on Shabbos was the destruction to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous mercy and rachamim that the Shechina is there during the destruction. And that's the yesod of the Gemara in Yuma. That even though it was a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim were still hugging. The Kruvim and the Kodesh Kadosh were still hugging each other because there's a tremendous, even though it was Ra, there was a tremendous Moed. It was a Moed, there was a Nes Ra to show that even in the times of tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. So we should be Zoche. We should no longer have tzaros. We should no longer have tragedy. We should all be Simcha V'Sason. We should be Zoche to the Moadim Tovim. Thus, love of Meheri Amenu. Amen.